I don't know. God has brought this to my attention today, this afternoon, thinking about what am I going to preach and begin to pray. And I got to thinking about the things that we think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There's a scripture for that. I'll get to that here just in a minute. As you think in your heart. And whatever that we think about is what we're going to wind up doing. If you concentrate those thoughts long enough, you're going to do what you think. In other words, your thought pattern motivates your spirit, soul, and body. Just like the man that took the little boy in the bunker down there, and what a wonderful deliverance we've heard of today, and everybody's rejoicing. But his thought pattern got him to do that. He thought it over and thought he's going to do that. I'm persuaded to believe that Eve and Adam's thought pattern in the Bible caused them to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I think they thought about it. I don't believe it was just a one-time thing. I believe it says that God told them that that tree was in the middle of the Garden of Eden. It was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, don't eat of that tree. Now, every other tree in this garden. Now, Adam had the job of naming the trees and naming the animals and naming everything. So he was familiar with everything in there. So I believe that they thought about this and all these things, and they thought it over. She did. And then she gave to Adam, but she thought of something, that tree. Now, God says that we can't eat of that tree. Wonder why he doesn't want to eat of that. It looks good. It looks like something that would be real good to eat of, and she kept thinking that thought, and one day, whatever happened, she stood before that tree, and a voice spoke to her. Guess whose voice that was? The voice of Satan. And he said, go ahead and eat of that tree. God knows that you're going to be smart, that you're going to be like him when you eat of that tree. That was a lie. Because when they eat of that tree, they died. They died a spiritual death. Let's read one verse about this. Verse 15 of Genesis chapter 2. And we'll get going through the Bible here. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou knowest, thou shalt surely die. So the thought pattern that she had motivated her to come to the place where she would listen to the powers of the enemy and eat of that tree, and it changed the whole life, and it changed everything for us even to this day. We were born in sin because Adam sinned, and the only way that we can get out of it was because God prepared a sacrifice, and God gave his only son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so let's turn our Bibles now to another scripture or two here. I'd like to go maybe to Proverbs, here just a minute, chapter 23, verse 6 and 7. And look what it says here. Eat thou not of the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou the dainty thing. Now listen to this. For as he thinketh, this man, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As we think in our heart, that's the way we are. Huh? And you can think of all kinds of different things, and it's called the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life in 1 John chapter 2. And so then it said, jump right across there in verse 26, and he said, my son, give me thy heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. So if it were eyes observing his ways, and there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But if we have give God our heart and let our eyes observe his way and our thoughts. Now go right back. This is one of the most wonderful chapters in the Bible, is Psalms 1 and 1. Now listen to what it said. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, or setteth in the seat of the scornful, but what? In the law of the Lord doth he what? He's thinking. In the law of the Lord doth he what? Meditates how much? Day and night. What's he going to be like? A tree that's planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How does he get that way? He's thinking in his heart, day and night. He's planted by the rivers of water. He's bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. So we find that that's another area there. So let's turn our Bibles to another one. Let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. And he's talking to a people that's generation. He called them of vipers. And in verse 33, he said, either make the tree good. Now, this is Jesus talking now. He said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. See, so therefore now we know the tree by its outward appearance. See, Adam and Eve could have known that tree by its fruit because it had fruit of knowledge of what? Good and evil. In other words, that's a tree that's mixed up. Now what does Psalmist say? He said, we got to meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. We got to keep our mind on good, not evil. We can't have these evil thoughts. We can't meditate on these evil thoughts. Did you ever have, and we're all tempted that way. That's one of the greatest temptations that man has. Somebody does something to you and it kind of upsets you. It bothers you and you can't think of it. You can't quit thinking of it, and you think of it. And finally you get victory over it. You got to start thinking what? Something good. You start thinking about God. You start thinking God's not that way. That person is an ungodly person, or they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. So let's go on just a little bit with this. He said, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the what? Oh, there we go. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When the heart gets abundantly supplied with the wrong thing, it motivates that whole man to do things that's wrong. Can you say amen? So the thought pattern that we have in our mind and in our heart is what motivates us to do what we want to do. You know, that man that killed all those people in that theater out in Colorado, he thought that all over. He had all kinds of booby traps set everywhere. His mind was evil as all get out, and he had thought it over and worked on it for weeks, I guess, to get where he could get motivated with his body to put all that in operation. See, this body here, it moves by what we think. Huh? You know, if somebody said, I think I'll not go to church tonight, so it moves by that and lays over on the couch. Somebody said, I'm going to church regardless of what the devil says. I'm going to church. And the devil moves out of the way, and you get to church and you get what God wants you to have. You get exactly maybe what God has for you there that night. People let themselves be robbed by the way they think. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He's whatever he thinks in it. You think you're tired long enough, you're going to get tired. You think you're feeling better and you're going to start getting better. Huh? You think you're defeated, you're going to be defeated. You think that you're victorious, you're going to be victorious. You just keep meditating on that. Psalm said, in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither. Now he comes on down verse 35, and he said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth what? Good thing. Good thing. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil thing. Now, what does that tell me? What does that tell you? Well, there's a way we need to study the Bible. I've told you how to study the Bible. I'll not get into that again. But if we study the Bible, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth what? Good things. Now, how did he get to where he could bring forth good things? He didn't get that way thinking evil. He didn't get that way by just not thinking anything at all. He got that way by bringing forth good things from out of the abundance of his heart. Now, how did the evil man that brought forth evil things How did he get that? Because his thought pattern was on it long enough to where he brought forth evil. He brought forth murder. He killed a lot of people. The school up in Connecticut where the man come in and killed all those children. He meditated on it. He prepared for that. And so evil come out of there. But if you prepare for good things then and do good things, go to church regular, pray regular, do what you're supposed to be doing in church, keep your home and your patterns, right things in the home and everything, you're going to bring forth some good things. Was it Jesus done? We get back to that again, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. That's a good thing. Who went about doing what? Good. He done good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I'll tell you what, we're missing it. We need to get out here and get some of these people delivered that's oppressed of the devil. If they'll even halfway listen to you, you can't make them. But we can start praying till we get some power behind our prayer and get some people delivered. I've seen it happen no telling how many times. Now I want to turn real quick here to Romans chapter 12, and I never had really preached on that exactly before like this, but I want to preach on Romans chapter 12. Just bring forth just a little bit here, and it's talking about good things out of the heart. Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. Paul says here in Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Notice now, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. How many knows what you think with? You think with your mind. So be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we can prove what? That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said, for I say those, verse 3, the grace given unto me to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So we can get to thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. How many know sometimes it's thinking of self and putting self ahead of everything, and it's called self-righteousness. It's called selfishness. Sometimes we're overly selfish, and therefore we're thinking wrong, and after a while we become so proud of ourselves, if we don't watch it, that we'll not be humble enough to touch God and to hear God. We'll not be humble enough to wait upon the Lord. We'll not be humble enough to renew our strength. Now, what does he go on to say here? Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think of soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So God has dealt this to every man the measure of faith. So we're going to turn our Bibles now to another scripture here. I believe we'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Now, mind you, this whatever we think is going to motivate us if we go think it wrong enough. So what are we supposed to think on? The things that's righteousness, peace, and joy, good things. How many of us believe we need to meditate in the law of the Lord day and night? How many knows what the law of the Lord is? This book right here. We keep our mind right on it. Keep it right inside of us. Now, here we find in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth. Now, he's talking to young Timothy, a young preacher that he was raising up, a young preacher that he was helping to get going. And so he's talking to him what to do, how to handle this thing. Let no man despise your youth. Don't worry about your youth. Don't worry about your age. Let no man despise your youth. You're young, but Paul's instilling something on the inside of him that will make him think right. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Be an example. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading and exhortation to doctrine. Till I come. He said, I'm coming that way, but till I get there, give yourself to something. give attendance to what? What does he say there? Reading. Now, you can't read the Bible and meditate on the devil's work all the same time. So the more you read the Bible, the less the devil's got a chance to get to you. Spend them hours in there. The more you meditate, you don't have to read it. You know, see, I like to, I'm a little bit rusty kind of on the scripture since I've been pastored quite a bit the last 2 or 3 years, but you have to get in this thing and to get it flowing, and then you got it back, but you have to think about it. You have to read about it. Give yourself to reading. Now, the next thing he said, not just read, he said to exhortation. How many knows what exhortation means? Preaching. Timothy, get out there and get to preaching. First, get something to preach about. See, that's what he said. Neglect not to get. Till I come, give attendance to reading. How many knows if you've given enough attendance to reading, you got something to preach about? Somebody said, just don't know what to preach about tonight. Well, just might near anything if you're anointed. The book's full of it. Can you say, man? We got to keep that anointing. Got to keep that power prayed down. We got to keep the power there. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Number one, you got to read. You got to study. In one scripture, he said, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He said, you got to study. 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 How many know study? You can study. Study. Yeah, the more you know the Bible, the better you can study. You don't even have to have the book in front of you to study. You can preach to yourself going down the road. Just quoting scriptures to yourself. Get yourself molded where what you're going to do the right thing. I have to do that. How many knows that every preacher that's worth his salt has to preach the sermon first to himself, and then he preaches it to the people? Sometimes I preach the sermon 3 times to myself before you ever hear it. Now, this one today is just one time thing. But it just came to exhortation, in other words. Now, that's to preaching. And to the next thing, to doctrine. Doctrine, the right doctrine. So, verse 14 and 15, he's telling him what to do, Timothy. Paul is telling Timothy what to do as a young preacher. First, don't let nobody despise you. You forget that you're young. Just go on. Praise the Lord. So, it works the same way. Forget you're old. Huh? You go crooping around saying, I'm too old to preach. My kids has been after me for 20 years to retire. What would I do if I retire? Go home and die? We need to have life. It keeps us alive. It keeps us something there that we can do. Retire. I don't ever intend to retire. And then he said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given to thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, that's pretty active, isn't it? Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Somebody said, what about this laying on of hands? Well, God gave him a gift when the presbytery laid their hands upon him. Then he said, now here's what I want you to do. Just in old plain hillbilly language, here's what he said I want you to do. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. How many knows you can tell somebody that's meditating in the Lord if you just watch and listen? You can meditate. I can tell a preacher whether he studied his lesson or not before he preach. I can tell that Bobby studies real hard on his Sunday school lesson because it shows when he's teaching. I can tell when a young preacher's springing up what they're going to amount to. Notice what he said again. Let's read that again. Meditate upon these things which give thyself wholly to them, that thy it's his profiting, that thy profiting may appear to what? To all. In other words, we're wanting to reach everybody, that they can see that God is in it. Now, I'll tell you what, you're going to have to prove to this people in this day and time that God is in you, or they're not going to accept anything. We're living in a generation that's in a terrible shape, and unless they really recognize that God's in it. But after a while, when they recognize that God is with you, that God is in you, that you're doing what God's Word said, then they'll begin to change their tune, if they're ever going to change their tune. So, let's go a little further with this, and let's talk just a little bit about this here. Good thinking motivates us to do good, or bad thinking motivates us to do evil. How many wants to be motivated the right way? Just start thinking right. You know, when you're thinking, you're going somewhere. You're traveling spiritually, and you're going somewhere. And good thinking motivates you. Paul wrote young Timothy this. Our thinking motivates what we do. Either way, good or evil. So the way we think, it's all the way we think. James 1 and 8 says that a double-minded man is unstable in how much? All his ways. What is a double-minded man like? He's like the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He has two things there that he's messing with, good and evil. We need to get rid of the evil. That's the job that God wants us to do. Start getting rid of everything that's evil and begin to get involved in everything that's good. We will pattern our lifestyle after our thought pattern. Write that down. We will pattern our lifestyle after what? We will pattern our lifestyle after our thought pattern. Our thought pattern is what patterns it out, and then we'll pattern our lifestyle after that thought pattern. As we think, that's what we'll do. As we think. Don't try to mix our life and pattern after the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Pattern it after Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So what are we supposed to think about? You ever just get around somebody and they say, oh, I just don't know what to do today. I've just been laying here thinking about what I'm going to do today. And some of them are still doing that at noon, what we're going to do today. But our pattern, whatever we think in our heart, it comes out in our lifestyle. Remember, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. From the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaketh. Where does it get? It gets it from within, from the abundance of the heart, and it causes us to speak. You have to think something before you speak it. You can't go out and speak something and not think about it. You got to think. So thinking patterns our lifestyle. So let's go over to the big one in this, in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. That's the biggest one I could think of in the Bible. Of how to think. And in verse 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. What does the word rejoice mean? It means rekindle the joy. Rekindle the joy. The joy of the Lord is your what? What does the joy have to do with the kingdom? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we're to think joyfully. From out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If our heart's not joyful, we can't act joyful. If our heart is joyful, we'll be joyful even in a time of trouble. Paul and Silas got locked up in jail and beat, and they was put in stocks and bonds. In Acts chapter 16, and he said that one of them said, let's have a little prayer meet and sing a song. And they begin to sing and they begin to praise God, and the jailhouse shook. The jailer got saved. Amen. They had church all night. What a wonderful time they had. You know why? They had to have joy in a time of trouble. You can rejoice in a time of trouble. I don't care how big it is, how big the load is, you can rejoice. It may take you a little while to get on track. Sometimes we're off track a little bit in these things. I'm the same way, but I have to get just over just a little bit and get right on that track, and it doesn't make any difference what's out there in the way. It doesn't make anything. What's again you? You can still joyfully and rejoice in the Lord. He said, again, I say rejoice. Praise the Lord. And then he comes on down, verse 5. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Let everybody know that you have God with you, and God is with you, and the Lord is at hand, in other words. Then verse 6, he comes in. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, look at that. Be careful for nothing. Don't get upset about things. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by everything. How much are we supposed to pray about? Everything. Everything. Somebody, you said, well, I don't like that politician. Well, pray for him. That'll either move him or get him straightened out, one of the two. Hopefully, prayerfully, pray in everything, be careful for nothing, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God hears you when you're praying. He doesn't answer right then. He doesn't answer with an audible voice. But he's there. He hears your prayer. He's Emmanuel, meaning God with you. How much is he with you? He's all the time. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He may be over yonder somewhere quite a ways, and you've stepped out of line a little bit. You may have to run to catch up with him or something, but he's there. He's right there all the time. Never fails. Never leaves you out. He's always thinking about us. Then it says in verse 7, listen to what it said then. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts. Now, if the peace of God is keeping your hearts, what's going to come out of your heart? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's going to come out of your mouth? Peace. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Peace comes out. The God of peace, which passeth all understanding. He'll keep your hearts and minds. Hearts and minds. Hearts and minds. What's the difference in the heart and the mind? Well, the mind is your soul. Somebody said, that's my brain. No, the brain is the home of the soul. That's the house of the soul. The brain is not the soul. The mind that's in the brain, that's the house. What's in the heart? God. The spirit. God himself. The spirit and the soul. Then what happens to the spirit? So we are created a spirit, soul, and body. And you're not a body with a spirit and soul. You're a spirit with a soul and body. First, God created a man, a spirit. He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But the thought he breathed in the nostrils was the spirit, and man come alive, and then he became a living soul. And the soul begins to search things, look for things. It's hungry for things. It's looking things over. It's thinking. Huh? Are you getting it? It's thinking. Thinking. Thinking about God. Thinking about what you could do for God. Thinking about everything. This man's a living soul. Then this mind, when we think about God, what will we do for God? What does it do? It sets in motion what? I want to get this over to you. It sets in motion what? The body. See, you have to have this body to go anywhere, to go out in the car and even start the car. You have to have this body. Unless you got one of them things that Sister Buckner's got, she punches it in from the house. It starts the car. Mine tore up. Hers tore up, and I give her mine. Ain't that a good husband? I got the old key. Come on. Think something good that we can do for each other. But we have to have this body to motivate us. We have to have our body to drive. We have to have our body to go to church. We have to have our body to go to anywhere, go shopping, whatever we do. This body, and we have to have our thought pattern right. And if it's not right, we're going to get out of the line with God somewhere down the road. Amen. Listen what he says here. Finally. Now, listen, he says, finally, verse 8, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, do we always look at everything, and are we always thinking about things that's true? You know, I'll declare it. I do believe that a lot of people, even people that go to church and Christian people, they like to hear a little bit of false, something that's false, something that's a lie. You're giving themselves over to a lie, a fable. How many know what a fable is? Huh? What is it? It's a tale. Old wives. Fables, tales. Everybody likes to hear that story. Huh? Whether they believe it or not, you know. Did you hear what old sister so-and-so done? And did you hear what that preacher done? And do you hear what's going on down here and going down there? And they tell you, you don't believe it, but you just want to hear it. You're opening your ear up as a trash can. Might as well put you a garbage can and a waste paper basket can there. You don't need to hear junk. We need to have our minds set to where it motivates our body to be holy. And let's turn to a scripture. I can't miss this one. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. That the very God of peace sanctify you how much? Holy. Now he tells what the holy is. Spirit and soul and body. You got to be cleaned up spirit, soul, and body. Huh? Is that what that says? That's about the coming of the Lord. And he's wanting to find the whole spirit, the soul, and the body. What is he wanting to find? Blameless. Blameless. Unto the coming of what? Unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That your whole spirit, soul, and body. It's be sanctified, and that it be found blameless unto the coming of the Lord. That's a pretty good cleanup job, ain't it? Boy, don't you know that a lot of churches, if they hear that, they wouldn't like it. I hope you folks like it, because that's all you're going to hear while I'm here, some stuff like this. Huh? Because it's the truth, and it'll set you free. Huh? I didn't dig this up at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I dug it up at the right tree. How many knows that you're a tree? How many knows that? See, the tree needs to be like God over there in Psalms 1 again. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, stand away the sinner, set in the sea of the sky. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. He shall be what? Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. In other words, a tree of God. See, weren't we trees of righteousness? Isaiah 61 said that they'll be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And it's the trees that have to be motivated. Well, let's go back to this here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, boy, that's laying it down, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, good report, I'm ready for a good report. How many's ready for a good report? Everybody wants to tell me a bad report anymore. I don't know what's going on. Huh? A good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think. Think on what? Just, pure, lovely, good, virtue. Think on these things. Praise these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen of me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace. Now, when you get all this absorbed, you can sit right down and you can lay down in a time of trouble when everything's roaring against you, when everything, and you feel peace. The old flesh will say, ooh, but the spirit and the soul says, I'm at peace. I have the kingdom in me. I've got righteousness in me. I've got peace in me. I've got joy in myself. I've got God. I've prayed, and God has implanted himself on the inside of me, and I'm not going to worry about today. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about the things. I'm going to enjoy the things of God, and when God gets ready for me to be delivered from all these things or whatever that it is, I'm ready if he's ready. And after a while, you'll find that God is ready. He said, be ye therefore ready, for you know not what hour that your Lord cometh. We're living in a time he could come any time, any hour, any time. How do we think? Now, this will help you examine people that tries to throw you faith and all that. Listen to what they're saying. If they call you on the phone and tell you that a whole bunch of garbage, you say, I don't want to hear it. Or you can do this for this. You can cut them off and start telling them this. If you're full of this, you have to be full of this. It has to come from within the heart. Huh? Empty heads can tell nobody nothing. Empty hearts can tell nobody nothing. But hearts that's full and minds that's full of the things of God can open up. You can put them to stop. Just real quick. Amen. We never try to mix our life and pattern after the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We try to mix, we mix it only with God. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's got some mind of good, but he's unstable. He's wishy-washy. He's up one day, he's down the next. He believes God today and don't believe him tomorrow. He's, everything is a day at a time. I don't believe that, you know, the song is all right, one day at a time. But I don't really believe it's exactly that way. Let's put it a little better. One lifetime at a time. We're living our lifetime every day. Every day, another day passes. It's part of our lifetime. We need to use that lifetime for things that pleases God. We need to use that time that we have wisely.